Hey, how's it going, guys? This is Scott McKay, and you're about to be treated to the long-awaited and, I must say, very much overdue episode number 56 of the Chick Whisperer podcast. Now, today I've got a very special guest for you. He's kind of from a different world than some of the guest co-hosts I've had on in the past, but you guys have been recommending this guy to me for literally years, and I finally caught up with him, and here he is co-hosting the Chick Whisperer program with me. But before we get to that, I have something of very great import to talk to you about first. That is my first new program in nearly 2 years. It's called Female Persuasion. You're going to really like the website, but I think you're really going to like what it's about even more, because in this program, I'm going to show you how to make any woman want to do literally anything for you. Now, I'm not telling you about how to get any woman just to do anything for you through trickery or manipulation or mind games or anything like that. The key word is want. What if you could go anywhere and women just wanted to please you? Women wanted to do anything for you. And yes, they wanted to go out with you and be your girlfriend and just make you happy. Well, you can live that charmed life. A lot of guys do. Just like women can use feminine wiles to kind of charm us and we'll love every minute of it, you have that power within you to charm women, to use your masculine wiles, as it were, to, yes, get women to want to do anything for you. The website is super easy to get to. You just simply head to www.female-persuasion.com. Remember, there's like a hyphen dash there in the middle. www.female-persuasion.com. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. I put my heart and soul into it, and so far the feedback has absolutely been excellent, and it is the fastest selling program I've ever created. So I think we've really got a hit here. Go ahead and check it out at www.female-persuasion.com. And now, here comes episode number 56 of the big show. Enjoy, gentlemen.
You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Well, all right, gentlemen, this is episode number 56 of the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. Got a really big show for you today, as always. With me is a special guest. And you know, this guy has got to be a great guy because his name is Brett McKay. Yes, that's right. He is descendant from the Clan Mackay, glorious Scotland. Brett McKay, man, how's it going? Good to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, it's my pleasure. You know, I've been a big fan of your website for a long time, and obviously a lot of guys who are in my audience have been also, because I think I've had your name sent to me probably 24 times now saying, hey, you know what, McKay, you've got to get this other McKay guy on the Chick Whisperer show so you guys can talk about being a real man to your heart's content and probably to theirs too. The site is theartofmanliness.com, and you've just got a huge following, right? How many millions of unique visitors a month do you have now?
It's about 3 million uniques now, around there.
That's huge, man.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That's like 1% of the entire United States.
Yeah, is it 1%?
Yeah, man, almost. It's probably 2% of all the guys in the United States.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, when you put it like that.
Probably global.
That's pretty. Yeah it's global. Yeah, it's global.
And on your site, for those guys who have never actually had the pleasure of visiting the Art of Manliness before, you talk about just about anything guy-related, cars, guns. You know, you have how-to articles that are just brilliant, like how to shoot a fire extinguisher, just stuff dudes ought to know. It's a site that has a great central purpose in this life. So I figured, you know what, man, what should we talk about today other than the 21st century definition of manliness and how to be a man in the 21st century. And I think that sounds like a great, great topic. And, you know, one that we haven't actually talked about directly here on this show in a while. But first, Brett, my good man, my brother from another McKay mother, I think we should go with a voicemail. This comes to us from Jacob in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Fasten your seatbelts and sit down, gentlemen. This one's going to be a barn burner. Here we go.
Hey, how's it going, guys? This is Jacob calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I just have a question for you guys. There's this girl that I really like her. And I can talk to her. It's not that I'm shy around her or anything. It's just that I know her from church. And so I don't know how to escalate things sexually, I guess. You sexually escalate them. I got the Keno down, I got the flirting down, and it's just great. But just the fact that the escalation is kind of hard for me to get to, because, like I said, I know her from church. So if you guys can give me some tips on that or answer that question, that'd be great.
Oh my goodness, Brett, where are we gonna start with this guy, man?
Oh man, I just what he wants to do, it's not a good idea. What he's aiming at is it's bad news. It's not gonna be anything positive coming from that.
Well, you know, it's kind of a contradiction in whole ideologies. Dude, you're wanting to go to church to find women who you want to escalate sexually with. Now, I'm gonna be the first to admit, just because a woman is a nice church girl doesn't mean she's very horny and doesn't mean she's going to probably lose her inhibitions a little bit and maybe get frisky with you. But dude, at church, you can't exactly count on that, first of all. And second of all, look, if you lead with this whole mindset of I'm going to quote unquote escalate sexually, I mean, even that term is like, I want to use women for my own sexual purposes. It's just not going to end well, you see, because that's not the mindset those women are going to be leading with themselves. And it's also not going to be the kind of mindset that's going to make them feel safe and comfortable. Because here's a little secret for you, Jacob. Just because those women are horny doesn't mean they're ready to admit that to you. And second of all, because they are church girls, they're looking for guys who know how to do that whole churchy social dance, which, here's a clue for you, doesn't involve escalating sexually as your prime focus. Right, Brett?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, they're there for a reason. And obviously they have a moral code. They have an ethic or a value system that typically involves postponing sex till after marriage. And I don't know, it's just you're going to the wrong place if that's what your goal is, to escalate sexually, as you say. That's the wrong place to go for that sort of thing. And here's the thing too, if you don't go to church often, people talk. So once you make that move, and you're kind of known as the creeper guy at church, that's going to get around to everybody else. So watch out for that as well.
I think that's a brilliant point. You're absolutely correct. You have that ecosystem there of people who are just really, really chatty. And as soon as you become that guy who has, quote unquote, hit on a girl at church, all the other women do not want to be associated with you, not necessarily because they're unattracted to you, but because they don't want that reputation. They've got to live in that church with those people in that social environment. So I think you make an excellent point there, Brett. And just for you guys who are listening, Brett is not a dating coach. This is just pure common sense he's giving you. And you know what, Jacob, man? Another thing Brett just said, go find somewhere else if you want to escalate sexually with women. Church is not the place for that. It's like, gee, I want to go buy a car, so I'm going to go to a furniture store. It just doesn't make any sense. Well, we're not going to pick on you anymore. It sounds like you were a little toasty there in that voicemail, actually, Jacob. May want to lay off the sauce before you go to church, too. But I'm going to give you a prize anyway. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the first ever prize version of my new program, Female Persuasion. In it, you're going to find the real man's way to get any woman to want to do anything for you, enjoy the heck out of doing it, and come back for more. It's at www.female-persuasion.com for those guys out there who haven't gotten their hands on it. It's brand new, about a week before we recorded this podcast at the end of January 2013. And I'm going to be sending that to you, Jacob, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So make sure you make good on it. Do us proud. Do Brett and I proud. Do the McKay guys proud here. And go meet women, enthrall those women, charm their socks off. And you know what? I have this gut feeling, Jacob. The less you try to escalate sex and the more you just enjoy them for being women, the more sexual opportunities you're probably going to get. And that goes for church or non-church. Okay, buddy? Well,
Brett, you know what? Let's dive right in, man. Let's go into your bailiwick, because this is what you really want to talk about. This is all about being a 21st century man. My first question for you, man, is being male really any different, or are we just being told it should be different?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think some aspects of it have changed, but I think there's some overall principles that haven't changed. What we're trying to do with the website on the Art of Manliness is to revive this idea of what manliness used to mean for thousands of years, but then somehow shifted in the past 50 or so years. I mean, if you ask most guys today, like, what does it mean to be manly? They're going to tell you like the sort of stereotypical goofy things like, oh, it means drinking beer and, drop kicking a shark. I don't know, just like dumb stuff, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Chuck Norris thing. That's what it means to be a man. But if you were to ask that same question to, like, say, a man living in the 19th century, or to a man, you know, living in ancient Rome, he would give you a completely different answer. And that answer would be, well, it means to be a man of honor. It means to be a man of courage. It means to be a man of not only just like physical courage, but moral courage. And so we're trying to revive this idea of manliness as being a man of virtue and being the best man you can be in all aspects of your life. Yeah, so far people have seemed to respond to it rather well. But you know, to your other question, yeah, some things have changed. Like the functions of a man's role have changed in some ways, because we're not hunting saber-toothed tigers anymore, right? Most of us are living or have office space jobs, and you know, we don't have to use exercise our physical prowess or be awesome using a spear. So yeah, some things, sort of the techniques that we have to use in order to succeed as men have changed, but I think the overarching principles have stayed the same, or should stay the same.
Yeah, one of the things you just mentioned was being a man of virtue. I think a lot of us as guys have been told, hey, you know what? All men are jerks. All men are dogs. Women are the goddesses. Guys are the ones who make war and kill people and stuff like that. But I love hearing you talk about how masculinity should be virtuous. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I take a lot of inspiration from Greek and Roman philosophers. Like, Aristotle is a favorite of mine. The Stoics, like Marcus Aurelius and Seneca, are two other favorites. And, they all talk about that. To be a man means to acquire and develop certain virtues. You know, courage was one. But also, on the flip side, you know, that also included some tender virtues, things that we often associate with femininity. You know, things like being, what's the word I'm looking for? Merciful is seen as a virtue. Being big-hearted is what they called it. Having empathy or fellow feeling for your fellow man. Those are all things they said that you needed to try to develop. And what I love about them is that they really preach that this is a lifelong process. This isn't something that you just do, you know, you're one and done. It's a continual thing you got to keep doing until the day you die. And unfortunately, a lot of people, not just men, but just people in general in modern life, they're looking for these programs or some sort of technique that they can do just once and it'll fix all their problems and never have to worry about it again. But becoming a good man, becoming a man of virtue is a lifelong discipline. You have to be willing to commit it for the duration.
Yeah, you know, it warms my big heart to hear you say that, because I often talk about how I believe compassion is actually a male virtue. And it sounds to me like you were just wrapping up that whole conversation in a way that describes compassion. You're talking about being merciful, you know, being big-hearted, being magnanimous, you know, some generosity there. You know, it's really up to a man to go back and restore dignity and restore goodness in a place where someone has come and taken that away. In other words, where there's pain, where there's suffering, especially at the hands of someone who's stronger and yet more evil than the weaker people he's taken advantage of or lording that over. It takes a strong man to come protect and provide in that situation.
Sure, and it kind of tagging off of what you just said, another aspect of manliness that we're trying to, I guess, revitalize in the discussion about what it means to be a good man is that being a man means you contribute to society. You don't just take away. If you look across cultures and across times, one of the defining characteristics of what it meant to be a man was that he provided more or produced more than he consumed. In other words, he wasn't a burden on others. He tried to contribute to those around him, contribute to society, contribute to his tribe. And that was the demarcation between a boy and a man. We've written about this on the blog before, that a boy consumes and a man produces or a man creates. And unfortunately, a lot of the, I guess, discussion or the advice that's out there for men, it's all about the individual. Like, what's in it for me? How can this make my life better? How can I get more money? How can I get more women? How can I get this? But the question should be is like, what can I, you know, if you really want to get back to that kind of archetypal answer of what it means to be a man, it's like, well, okay, what can I do to contribute to society? How can I develop myself so that I'm a benefit to others? And I found in my own life, when you start off with that question, it's like, how can I improve myself with the addition of so that I can help or contribute or produce or provide or whatever, things seem to go better. It just, you have more motivation, you feel more fulfilled. And when you're not focusing just on yourself, but you're trying to figure out what you can do to make the world a better place. And I know it's sort of kumbaya, but it's the truth. It's been proven across millennia that, you know, once you look beyond yourself, that's when you actually start to feel more fulfilled as a person.
I like what you're saying overall, Brett, man, about how you're looking at the ancients. You're looking at people who lived thousands of years ago and looking for the common thread of what manliness meant then. Because you know what? That's where the essence of reality is. I mean, we've been on this planet, like you just said, for millennia as male human beings, attracting female human beings. So masculinity and femininity have been in effect for eons, literally. Yet it's just in the past generation or so, we've had that mindset sort of twisted because of the prevalence of media and this globalization or whatever you want to call it, liberalization, whatever you want to call it. And I love the fact that you're going back and you're finding where the real kernel of truth is. And what you just said about the defining point between being a boy and being a man, I think just hits the nail on the head. My little five-year-old son is a chip off the old block. I mean, he is just like me. He loves to do the things I love to do. He looks like me. I mean, you know, the postman, the milkman were not involved in his birth, okay? This is my kid all the way. Well, you know what? He still is eating all the food I bring in here. He still doesn't have a job. He isn't providing sustenance for this family. He's still needing to be taught how to act in certain situations. And that means he's still a consumer. And that's okay because he's 5 years old. But you know what? At some point, he's going to become, like you said, a contributing member of society. He's going to add rather than take away. And I think you've just really uncovered something that's a huge takeaway for guys here. Because, you know, Brett, women are attracted to manliness, as I'm sure you well know. You're a married guy. And this whole idea of sitting at home in your mom's basement playing Xbox and being unemployed and having your mommy still do laundry for you is not just unattractive to women when you're 32, 35 years old. It's repulsive. It's a guy out there who's got ambition. Ambition is, I have a passion for something that's my life purpose, and I'm motivated to go do something about it. And what I'm going to do with that is something that contributes, that adds to the goodness in this world rather than detracting from it. And women, man, for them, it's like catnip when a guy has all those components in place, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, ambition and like a mission in life is attractive. And I know a lot of guys think, oh, well, you know, women are just attracted to guys who have lots of money and success, blah, 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 blah. But here's the thing. Like, I got married when I was 22 and I was a poor college student. So, you know, but my wife still married me because I think she saw something. Like, I had a plan. I had ambition. I had goals for myself. And that's what she was attracted to. And it's not just because I was rolling in the dough, because I wasn't. But yeah, women, I feel, definitely are attracted. And my wife can agree that they're attracted to an ambitious man. They're not so concerned about where you are at the moment. They're more concerned about where they think you're going to be in a few years. And if all you're doing, like you said, is just like sitting in your mom's basement playing Xbox, they're going to take that as evidence. Like, this guy doesn't have a lot of ambition. This guy doesn't have a mission in life. This guy doesn't have any purpose. So I'm going to stay away from him. And it's not because you don't have money. It's just you don't have ambition.
Brett, I'd love to talk about at this point some of the things that are very objective instructions on your blog. I mentioned the one about being able to shoot a fire extinguisher and stuff like that. I think you have one on how to ride a motorcycle, you know, how to work a clutch, things like that. Talk to me about some of your favorite, I guess, pillar posts on your blog that really are important things that a guy needs to know? Give us some examples. 21st century guys, you know.
Well, that's the tough question. It's like choosing children. For a 21st century guy, some of the pillar posts, like, for example, we did this whole, just this few months ago, we did this whole series on the history of honor in Western culture. And what I found in my research is that when you ask a person what honor means today, the definition they give is not what Aristotle or Teddy Roosevelt would have given. We really don't understand the whole concept of honor. And I think we've lost something because of that. Granted, there are some bad things. We've talked about some of those bad things that the honor culture of the West brought to society. But there were definitely some good things where I think we're missing out on. I think guys read that, they would hopefully glean some things that they can apply to their own life to sort of resurrect this idea of manly honor. So that's one. So check that out, The History of Manly Honor. Sort of skills sets. We talked a lot about social skills and like manners and etiquette. And I know a lot of guys think that's kind of foo-foo-y stuff. But the truth is, if you want to be a success in life in our society, you have to be socially adept, not just with women, but with everybody. And unfortunately, I've noticed that a lot of young men these days, and it's happening to young girls too, because they're so enveloped in technology and Facebooking and texting and whatnot, their social skills muscles have atrophied. They no longer know how to maneuver within social circles or have personal relations without it being awkward. And so I know that a lot of young men are seeking this, you know, going into the site looking for that sort of information. So we've written about, you know, the importance of eye contact, the importance of a good handshake, the importance of a first impression, how to make small talk. I know people think small talk's ridiculous, but you know, small talk is how a lot of big, deeper relationships start. It's how you might initiate a relationship with your future wife. It could be a small talk could lead to a business deal. You never know. So those sorts of skills, I think, are important for the 21st century guy. And I think a man is doing himself a great disservice if he thinks it's not that important or it's sort of foo-foo-y. So those type of articles we've written, I've really enjoyed those type of articles. And then there's just the fun stuff that aren't necessarily going to, if you don't do it, doesn't mean you're not a man. But like we've written about like classic shaving. I'm a big fan of, you know, straight razor shaving and safety razor shaving. There's some of our most popular articles on the site. One of my favorite articles that we did is how to change the oil on your car. Like, I actually had to learn how to do that in order to write that article because I had never done it in my life. And, you know, honestly, it feels pretty good that I know how to do that. Not to say that I don't change the oil on my car all the time, because sometimes I just take it in because it takes 15 minutes for them to do it and it takes me like 40 minutes. But there's a sense of accomplishment in knowing that I can do that. And I know it sounds silly, but that's just how I feel. So those are some of my favorite articles or pillar articles that we've written on the site.
You know, you're talking about so many things there I'd love to just riff on. First of all, Teddy Roosevelt was a badass. You can learn a lot about how to be a man from Teddy Roosevelt. So guys, you know, if you want to research him, he's a good place to start. You know, another thing you talked about there was honor in Western culture. You know, we visited the Pacific Rim, Asia, a lot, and honor is a big thing to those folks too. And if you guys haven't read, say, The Art of War by Sun Tzu, there's a lot of honor in there, even though he's talking about battle and war. And that's maybe a good place to start. Honor has really been a mark of manhood in just about every culture. So there's got to be something to that. So that was well said. But I want to talk about cars for a second, because I think cars, vehicles represent freedom. They represent our ability to have the means to provide and protect, because travel really is power. You go to work with your car. You go to get provisions with your vehicle. Even guys who are still very much hunters and gatherers and kind of old school in that masculine sense of, you know, maybe hunting saber-toothed tigers, those guys nowadays have four-wheel drive trucks and they have Jeeps and they have, you know, trucks in general. Yet guys nowadays, they're not as much car guys or truck guys as they used to be. I mean, it just seems that way. And they're even less inclined to be mechanically able to come to the aid of that vehicle if they have to. They're sort of lost when something happens. Guys don't even know how to change a tire anymore, let alone change their oil. And I'll tell you what, guys, the first time some honk at one of those quick pass-through oil change places forgets to put the drain plug on tight on your car, you might be changing your oil yourself for the rest of your life, because you're putting your entire vehicle in someone else's hands in a way that warranty probably won't cover if you drive a new car if that guy forgets to put the drain plug on right. Now, that happened to me with my motorcycle one time, and I'll tell you what. So learning how to change your oil is huge. I think fan belts are huge. You got to know how to do that. Anything like handling a car that's overheating, you're going to have a woman in your car someday, and you're going to be 2 o'clock in the morning on the side of the road just shrugging your shoulders, not knowing what to do. And I just hope that if you don't know how to handle it, and if you don't have a few spare parts handy to do that, like an inflated spare tire, you better have AAA or something if you're in the United States, because you're going to be helpless. You're not going to be looking like a man. So I'm glad you're out there, Brett, teaching guys how to do the basic car stuff, because it's just something we don't think we have to do until we're stuck, right?
Exactly.
Here's another thing. I want to run this by you. Do you know how many guys I know who don't know how to tie a tie anymore? I mean, I had a guy show up and he had a clip-on tie. He's like a grown adult. The dude had a clip-on tie when he got off the plane. I said, okay, here's where we're going to start. And I taught the guy how to tie a tie. Now, you know, we live in a business casual culture, but isn't that one of those things a guy should know how to do?
Yeah, totally. I agree. It's one of those things that I guess I took for granted, because I learned how to tie a tie when I was 12. I mean, I wore a tie. I started wearing a tie to church every Sunday when I was that age, and I still do. And yeah, but a lot of guys these days don't know how to tie them, because the only time they actually have to wear a tie is like if they go to a funeral or like they get their first job interview. Then they're like, oh, I got to tie a tie. And they usually have to like have their mom tie it for them, which is that's no bueno. So yeah, learning how to tie a
tie. Ironic.
Yeah, it's totally ironic.
I need a woman to help me tie my tie, you know?
And we've covered that on the site several times. We've, you know, we talked about the different various knots, full Windsor, talked about how to tie a bow tie. So yeah, I mean, there's different ways to do it. They all get the job done, and it's an essential skill. There's no excuse not to know how to tie a tie.
The bow tie in particular, I think, is a great blog post for guys to start off with on your site, because man, there's just nothing better than actually wearing a hand-tied bow tie when you're at a full formal event, because you know what happens at those black tie events where we wear tuxes, things start loosening up as the night gets longer. And man, just being able to have that untied bow tie with, you know, the 2 hourglasses around your neck later on when you're kind of loosening up, kind of like I get the picture of Dean Martin and the Rat Pack guys back in the early 60s. There's just something about that women find hot. Women notice these things. They say, oh, he tied his own bow tie. Meanwhile, these other guys have like a unclipped bow tie, you know, kind of hanging around their neck, or it's completely missing. That is kind of one of those things that sets you apart as a badass.
Totally.
What are some other things on your site that guys need to know, like especially like when an emergency hits or some kind of crisis situation comes along? What are things that guys need to know how to handle when those things come along?
Well, we've talked about, you know, sort of like first aid stuff that a guy should know, like how to splinter leg or splinter arm. I think that's some essential things to know. If you're going fishing for whatever reason, you need to know how to take a hook out of your finger, because that's going to happen. It happens almost every time I go fishing, not to me, but to somebody. So know how to remove a hook. And we've talked about like wilderness survival on the site. Those tend to be a lot of our most popular articles, things about bugging out, building a bug out bag, how to survive in the wilderness, how to, you know, build fire without matches. That sort of stuff. Because look, you know, it was what I found. Like, you might never have to use it, but there's like that quote from one of my favorite movies, Lonesome Dove. You know, it's better to have it, not need it, and need it than not have it. So yeah, I think it's important to like bone up on this kind of survival information or just what to do in an emergency, so you can be prepared for that and be the guy that people look to handle the situation and take care of everything.
One last question. What does a 21st century woman look for in a 21st century man?
I mean, one of the things we talked about already is ambition. A man with a mission, a man that is contributing to society, like he's looking beyond himself. I think women find that attractive. And just a man who looks like he's got his act together. You know, that's, I don't know, just like, it's just get your act together. If you look put together, you look presentable, you carry yourself in a way that shows that you have a mission in life, women are going to find that attractive for sure.
So in other words, what a 21st century woman is looking for in a 21st century man is the same thing women have looked for in men for centuries.
Exactly.
The social trappings, the technology may change, but ultimately women are women and men are men.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I want to give you guys a chance to go to Brett's site, and it's kind of a long URL. And if you're driving or at the gym, I don't want you to miss out on it. It's theartofmanliness.com. But if you want, you can go to www.thechickwhisperer.com/Brett That's BRTT with two T's as in Brett McKay, not Brett Michaels. Okay. So go check the site out. And guys, if you haven't gotten in on our newsletter yet, go ahead and go to my main portal, which is www.deservewhatyouwant.com. And you will be able to find a free report on how to ace the first date and get the second date when you get in on my newsletter, which is always packed with high quality stuff. If you want to leave a voicemail like Jacob in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and have it potentially read on this show and answered by a world-class expert like Brett McKay here, what you want to do is, it's very simple. You dial up plus one if you're outside the United States, 210-362-4400. Once again, that's 210-362-4400. Please leave your name. Go ahead and leave us your email address and make sure you spell out that email address because sometimes that gets kind of easily garbled over voicemail. Ask us a question that's concise and something that a lot of guys can potentially relate to. And for better or worse, I do think a lot of guys can relate to your voicemail today, Jacob. And you'll stand an excellent chance of getting it played on this show and getting a great prize. I want to thank my guest again, Brett McKay from The Art of Manliness. Thanks, man.
It's been a pleasure.
This is Scott McKay from X and Y Communications. Until we talk to you again on episode number 57 of The Big Show, be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2009 by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the X and Y Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for The Chick Whisperer podcast. We'll be right back.